Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Without Me, You Can Do Nothing. Many people today have a GPS system in their car which guides them to their destination. Once you get used to it, it becomes an indispensable tool. Incidentally, Jesus instituted a spiritual GPS system some 1,900 years ago. Unlike the one today, God's is not limited to only travel information, but covers every area of life. This system is called the Holy Spirit, and He is not limited to a denomination, but is available to every believer in Christ. This means we can ask the Holy Spirit what to do in every situation and be guided along the correct path. The Holy Spirit will not reveal what your future will be, but He will help you to make decisions in such a way that you will always have a positive outcome. This message is entitled, Divine Guidance from Jesus. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, July 1st, 2012. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. And we're welcoming those of you that are watching us and pray that God will bless you as we're going to look upon today on divine guidance from Jesus. So let's stand and let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we have here. And Lord, if there's anything we need today, it is guidance. We need it desperately, Father God, because we have to make decisions on a daily basis. And Father God, we want to make sure that we make the right decision, because it will affect our lives. So open a word to us today, Lord. Give us such an insight that the lights will go on and we will be able to say, oh, thank you, Lord, for that answer. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Decisions are extremely important. And I want just to read to you here so I don't stray too far. There are certain actions in our lives that do not need any special input from Jesus, such as, should I go to the bathroom? Should I brush my teeth? Should I take a shower? This is something that's built into our brain, our computer. And we take action when it's needed. However, there are decisions that should involve Jesus, since He knows the future and we do not. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they know the future. They know what is going to happen. We do not. And since they know what is going to happen, if we ask them, but we make a decision, should we do this or that? Divine guidance then will simply guarantee us success, because God will not guide us in a wrong direction. Most people really don't even try to ask God. And in James chapter 4, verse number 13, we read this. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Let me read again verse 15. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Every day in the United States, people are dying. I believe the death rate in the United States is something like 200,000 people a day. And this week here in Sacramento, three young men between the ages of 20 to 22 had rented one of these U-Haul trucks, a little box truck, and they were helping somebody to move. They were moving something. And as they drove down the freeway here through Sacramento, the man driving decided that he was going to change lanes in the last minute. He saw an exit. He was in the wrong lane, and he tried to get over there to get off where he wanted to get off. He clipped another car and lost control of his van or his truck. And the truck flipped over the railing and fell down about 30 feet and hit the very big tree, and the three young men were killed instantly. That morning when they left at home, they had not simply said, okay, today we're going to die. We're going to die in a U-Haul truck, and it's going to happen at such and such a time. They did not know that. I don't know if they were Christians. I don't know anything about them except they were young men. And they would never grow old here on this earth. Their lives were finished. The oldest was 22 years old. That's all he got. It is important to make the right decisions, because decisions determine not only my life, but other people's around us. One of the most important decisions that you have to make is, when you're a young person, who am I going to get married to? Who will I marry? When my wife, actually when I was a young man, about 19 years old, I was not walking with the Lord, didn't have any guidance, and I was dating the wrong girls. And God knew in advance that someday down the road, I was going to be a preacher. He knew that I needed a woman that had a heart for God, that had a compassion for souls. And so God simply had me to meet my future wife on a train of all the places. He made all the arrangements. I got on the train in one station, and a little bit further down the road, my wife got on, wife-to-be got on the train. And then as we made contact in a railroad car, God made arrangements and the train stopped. It was an electric train and it broke down. Everything went black. And that simply made me say to this woman, what do we do now? And she said, well, I will help you. My wife is very helpful. And that is how we met, on a train. And then God spoke to me. I didn't understand that. I simply knew that this is one I'm going to get married to. And we did get married. That was automatic divine guidance. This was guidance when I was not walking with the Lord. I got the guidance. But today, as a Christian, I need to bring things up to God and say, Lord, what do I do and how do I do it? Before I get into the message here, I want to share one other story with you that I think is important. I had just surrendered to preach, 1967. And I realized that I needed some education. Having an engineering background, I needed some education in the Bible. Talked to my pastor, he says, well, you probably should go to some kind of a seminary. And so I hang around for about 2 years. And I begin to say, now, God, I don't know where to go. We were Southern Baptist. And my pastor says, well, there are 6 seminaries in our denomination. I prayed, and here's what God told me. Put an application into each one of these seminaries. I will close 5, open 1. Now, our pastor wanted me to go to New Orleans because that's where he had gone to seminary. My wife said, I don't want to go to New Orleans. I says, well, whatever. In about a month time, here comes the letters back from the different seminaries. One said no, 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 no. 5 said no. You don't have enough education. You got to do this or this or that. One seminary wrote and said, we will accept you on probation to see how you do the first semester. That was Golden Gate here in Mill Valley, California. This is where we came. When we lived in Salt Lake City, I did not know that we were going to live and work in California for the rest of our lives. I did not know that. But God knew that. And he laid upon my heart to seek him, to write 6 applications, and he opened 1 door, and we stepped into that. If I would have gone to any other place, this place here would not exist. You would have never met me and my wife. There would have been thousands upon thousands of people that I would never have led to Christ or met to whatever we have done during these years. A decision is vital. You might say, well, I'm older now. Does it matter? Yes, it does. You got to remember this, that behind you stands people that God has earmarked for you to lead to Christ, for you to help in their marriages, for you to give guidance. And if you do not get into your calling, most likely, these people will pay for it. They will not get saved. Their marriages will not be saved. And they will have troubles, not only for here, but for eternity. It is so important that we pray over everything. My wife are in a habit of praying over everything. And I remember one time, somebody came up and says, Ina, are you going to pray even before you eat an orange? And she said, yes, I am. Prayer over decisions are so important that if you fail to pray, you might make the wrong decision, you go down the wrong road, and years later you recognize, I missed my calling. Let me take it out to John 16:7. John 16:7. And while you turn there, I want to give you a strong warning today. It is one thing, if you look upon the end of the sermon here, it says, remember, it is not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. Even if you now ask God for guidance, and he give you guidance, and you are on the road, and I want you to hear me now, I would say that 90% of the Christians will never finish their life victorious. 90% of the Christians that start out getting saved, getting involved in the church, getting involved in different things, will at one time or the other of their life get derailed, offended. Something happens. They take it out on God. And they flow to the side of the river. They get caught in the bushes. And the river keeps going. And they get stuck. And they stay there until they die. They never finish. If there's one thing that you should pray every day is this. God, help me to be faithful. Help me to be able to finish strong. So when the day comes, when God is going to call you home, and you realize 10 seconds before you're going to die, you see the angels coming, and you realize, I'm done on this earth. That you will not panic and say, I'm backslidden. I went away from God. Oh my God. Judgment is coming. You don't want to come to that place. You want to begin strong and finish stronger. You want to finish. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. But you got to stay with him or you will not finish strong. In John 16:7, we read the following. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When Jesus walked on the earth, he could only be in one place at one time. He could only talk to a small group of people. He said, it's expedient for me to go away. If I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit. Verses 8 and down. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you. If you listen. In the month of November 2008, we made a decision. Actually, we had made a decision earlier than that, but that was when we had the money, we had everything else together, we decided to start webcasting. We never done webcasting before. And I got up one Sunday, and I simply said this to the church. We need some people that are willing to run the camera, audio, and other computers. And are you willing to be a missionary, living in Sacramento, but being a missionary, reaching out? 4 people came to me, 1 woman, 3 men, and said, God has called us. We will do the job. We're 4 years into the broadcasting right now. One person, the woman, lady, she moved away from town, so he's not here. But these are the 3 men, just about every Sunday, have faithfully ran the equipment, projecting us around the world. Not only do we have a webcasting, but we also got videos that are sitting over 350 videos sitting up there. And they're being played all the time from different parts of the world. These 3 men, and also the lady that was here for a couple of years, they will have their rewards. Because they took their time and effort to be trained, to sacrifice, to sit in a sound booth, not being able to follow the Bible and listen intently, but to work at the same time and make sure that this is going out. They made a decision. And I know we have reports coming in. There's many, many people from different nations have either accepted Christ, rededicated their lives, been called of God into some service, because these people made a decision to serve God. That's how important that is. Now, the question is this. Are you willing to be used by God? Not everyone is called to be in a control booth. We need Sunday school teachers. We need people that are witnessing. We need prayer warriors. There is all kind of openings in God's kingdom. One is not better than the other. This is the body of Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. The Holy Spirit is also going to convict people of their sins. Hebrews chapter 10. And you pick it up in verse number 26. For if you sin willfully after that you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy of the two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy, who has turned foot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Holy Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belong unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, how do you sin willfully? Some of you says here, well, you know, I haven't robbed a bank, I have not committed adultery, I have been stealing, haven't done this kind of thing. But have you forgiven people? Jesus said, if you do not forgive men for their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you for your trespasses. You realize that from time to time we get offended, we get angry, whatever it is. And we don't think about it. But many of us have sinned willfully in this way that we got so angry that we said, I am never going to forget that. I will never forgive that person. That's sinning willfully. The Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, try to convince you to forgive and release the person. But if not, you will be judged. And I've met many people who have been crippled with arthritis and all kind of other diseases. And it's all because of bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. It is important that every time somebody offends you, every time you get hurt, that you say in the name of Jesus, I don't like this. It's painful. But I will forgive. I will release. I will walk from this. I will not be a slave. Very important. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. It's Galatians, the 6th chapter. Familiar verses. If you read from verse number 7 through 9. Be not deceived, God not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh of the flesh reap corruption. For he that sows to the spirit of the spirit reap life everlasting. We are going to reap what we are sowing. Let's begin to put this on good seed. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Some of us have made a mess in our lives. Some people never forgive us. They always bring up the past. I don't live in the past any longer. I stopped doing it a long time ago. There are certain people that cannot forgive me. They are holding grudges against me. There's nothing I can do. I forgave them. I asked for forgiveness. I just got to move on. And God will release me. And that is how you got to live. Now turn to John chapter 16. John, the 16th chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, as the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has of mine, therefore said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Look in verse 30, the heartbeat, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. 2 weeks ago in a Tuesday night prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I went to do an announce in the church, a Friday night praise and worship and prayer time. Now I know that everybody here in church is busy. Most people are busy. And I was apprehensive about it, but I announced it. Matter of fact, I didn't really expect a lot of people to come. Brother Jason was excited. One of the guys excited. And he said, I'm going to go down and set it up early. I'm going to go down and set up the chairs. Where do I set the chairs? I said, I want a piano. I said, put up maybe 8 or 9 chairs. He said, John, he said, that's not enough. I said, well, put up some more. He said, that'd be a little bit over 20 chairs. Would you believe that just about every chair was filled Friday night? As I was sitting here now, I was wondering, okay, what's going to happen there? Because most of the people that came together Friday night have really not prayed together. We've been praying in different groups here. But this was the first time a lot of people came together to pray. And when people are a little bit nervous, holding back, you know, it was not much happening. So we started singing. And then came the Holy Spirit. One person began to cry out to God, began to pray, just unburden his heart. The Holy Spirit came. And suddenly, we were not intimidated anymore. The group was not looking, you know, can I pray? What did they think of me? And the Holy Spirit said, put a chair out in the middle of the circle. And invite whosoever wants to come and sit in that chair and be prayed for. And the chair was filled time and time again. And I said this when somebody came up. I said, whosoever is led by the Holy Ghost, go and pray for them. And I saw people that never before had got out of their seats. Go over, lay hands, on a brother and a sister. We had prophecy. We had all kind of things. And then, as we left here, I realized I had to step out in faith. I had to step out in faith despite skepticism and believe that God was going to be here and meet us. And he did. And afterwards, several people came and said, thank you. This is what God did in my life. This is what God did in my life. And I realized the Spirit of Truth knew what was going to happen last Friday night here. And he spoke to me 2 weeks earlier and said, this is what I want you to do, but I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen. You just show up. And he showed up. The Friday night's going to be, I believe, bigger than we think. I believe it's going to be a beginning of a revival. It's just like a seed that is beginning to grow and sprout. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit do it. We're not going to quench the Holy Spirit. He is going to guide us. Now, how do you verify that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? There's much confusion today. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. That's 2 Corinthians. Have you picked it up in chapter 11? 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to read from verses number 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing for if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There are spirits of Satan. There are people that are filled with spirits of Satan, demonic forces. And they will lead you astray. They will try that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's 1 Timothy. Have you read from chapter 4 when you get there? Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctors of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having a conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, there's going to be demonic forces that are going to come in and try to sway you. And they might come in and simply say, well, you know, they will build castles. And I've had it happen to me on a number of occasions. I begin to get a thought, and I begin to say, well, so-and-so is angry with me, so-and-so doing this and that, and it builds on it. And suddenly I realize I get very hostile inside. I'm getting angry, worked up. But it's not the Holy Spirit. If you get worked up, if you become hostile, if you begin to get angry, notice that is not the works of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. He will make you grieve over other people's sins. He will make you grieve and be sorrowful for people not being saved. But he will never bring you to bitterness, anger, resentment, and envying. Those are unholy spirits. I've had people come up to me and say, Brother John, I think this and that about this or that. And I had to be bold. I simply said, you haven't heard from the Holy Spirit. You've heard from the devil. Praise God, some people are taking advice. They said, okay, let's pray about it. The Holy Spirit is gentle loving, and kind. And when he talks to you, he creates a love in your heart and a compassion for other people. In 2 Peter, you step the road a little bit. In 2 Peter, chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be even spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feign words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. I want you to see verse number 3. How many people do you know that are backslidden? Don't raise any hands, but you know people are backslidden. Do you recognize that Satan made merchandise of them? He made merchandise of them. They are sidelined, backslidden. The joy is gone. And somebody made merchandise of them. Pastors over the years, evangelists, have actually done more damage than the devil himself by living a terrible life, preaching false doctrine. Anytime you preach false doctrine, let me just slow down for a moment. Anytime you bring in false doctrine, if it has to do with salvation, water baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or whatever it is, when you bring in false doctrine, you open a door in that church. Satan will come in with his hordes of demons. I don't care how much they worship. I don't care how much they love Jesus. The door is open. It's a cancer. It will eat from within. And the fruit will be backsliding people, destruction, sidelines, people made merchandise. How do we guard ourselves now? I will give you 3 lights. This is not a riddle for me. This is something I learned years ago. Before you make a decision, there have got to be 3 things, 3 lights that got to line up and be green. Every one of them. The first one is, God will never go against his word. Okay? This is your first filter. Numbers chapter 23. That's Numbers, the 23rd chapter. If you pick it up from verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he that blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Now, it's important, again, we talk about having the right Bible. Let's say that you are going to go on a trip. And you want to have guidance. You have a GPS. And for some reason, you're typing in the wrong address. Now, it might be only little, not too far from where you're going. That GPS is going to lead you to the wrong place at the wrong time. Guaranteed. If you got a GPS, you got to have the right address, and you got to put in right to be led. If you have a King James Bible, you got a real Bible that we have in English-speaking countries. If you got a Living Bible, if you got an NIV Bible, if you got a Message Bible, if you got a New King James Bible, whatever you got, your GPS is off. It got the wrong information in it. And when you try to filter through a wrong GPS, you're going to end up in a wrong place. A lot of people says, well, you know, it's hard to read the King James Bible. But don't tell it to me. I wasn't born here. I had to learn English. And if I can learn to read the King James Bible, what's wrong with you that I'm born here? Let's face it. It's called laziness. Get with it. Read it. And simply say the name of Jesus, I can do that. That's number one thing. I gave you several Bible verses here from Isaiah, Matthew, and 1 John 1, 4 through 5. I'll let you read this yourself. Now, for those of you that are just watching or listening, let me read these scriptures to you. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. Look that up. Matthew 5, 17 through 18. 1 John 1, 4 through 5. I will read Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. And this is what we read here. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law of prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot to one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. God's word will never, never be broken. It will never be destroyed. But it shall always be there until the end of times. So when you have to make a decision, ask yourself this. Will it agree with the Bible? What does that mean? Let me give you a stupid example. You're driving down a highway. Suddenly you see a sign, casino. And you says, oh, I got a little bit extra cash. We need to eat anyway. Might as well get it. Maybe I put a couple of dollars in the slot machine to do something like that. Before you make the decision, here comes the shield up. Does the Bible agree with gambling? Well, you know better than that. Gambling is theft. Because, you see, in order for you to win, somebody has to lose. Right? Do you think that the casinos or the gambling joints are simply having those places they can give out money? Oh, no. It's well calculated. And if you win, you stole money from other people that lost. God tells in his word that we shall work, labor, and have wages. It doesn't say in there, go and gamble and live on gambling. You understand that? That's how you use the filter. Okay, point number two. Circumstances must line up. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And you pick it up in chapter 13. If you read it here from verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon. It was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, their Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And then you read the rest of the chapter, how successful they were. circumstances has to line up. Let me try to give an example that is simple. We had this young lady, Sarah, here today that testified the work she does for the Lord. And some time ago, she was in a car accident, and she lost her car. And her dad heard about it and talked to his wife, and they decided to give her a car. Now, if Sarah would have simply said, God must have blessed me, seek ye the kingdom of God first, the only thing will be added to me, I believe that. I'm just going to go and buy an airline ticket, fly up to the Sacramento area and say, hey, Dad, I need a car. There would not have been a car ready. But when circumstances were right, she bought a ticket. They flew up here. She's going to drive a car home because circumstances has lined up. Now, let me say this. If you remember reading about the Egyptians coming out of Egypt, or the Israelites coming out of Egypt, they went through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians followed them with their chariots. And as they were in the middle of the Red Sea, God began to have his angels take off their wheels. Remember reading that? And the wheels of the chariots came off, and the Egyptians said, the God is fighting us, let's run. But they drowned. Listen, if you make the wrong decision, you get into the wrong project, you buy the wrong product, whatever it is, and the Holy Spirit says, this is not my will, I don't like this, he will go in and he will simply tweak the thing you've done. And you will find that you bought a lemon. This breaks, door closed, this will not happen. If you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, the Holy Spirit will put up roadblocks. And the more money you throw at it, the harder you work at it, the more he will resist you until he has broken you and you realize, God, I made a mistake. This is not the place for me to be. This is not where I should do. God works circumstances. Number one, you got to line up with the Word of God. Circumstances must line up. And the third one is, you must have the peace of God. In John 14:27, I made many bad mistakes in my life. And I realized circumstances didn't line up. And the peace of God was nowhere to be found. But it was biblical. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When you make a decision, it's biblical, circumstances line up, and if you have the peace of God, you feel good about this, you feel total peace, go for it. But if it doesn't line up, with all three, put it on hold. When to ask for guidance? If you're not married, you should ask this, God, who do I marry? And he was just, well, I got this man over here, I got this woman over here just made for you. I will make the connections. You don't have to get a baseball bat. You don't have to go out and beat the bushes. You don't have to get on the internet and join all these dating networks. You have to find for somebody. You go to God. And says, God, thank you for giving me a husband. Thank you for giving me a wife. And do you understand God is very capable of leading somebody to you? You might even have a little car accident. And you bump into this car, and this gorgeous lady steps out, and here's Jason. He says, "I'm sorry." And the lady says, "Well, you know, you're a big brute, you know, you shouldn't have hit my car, you know." And God said, "That's your wife." And Jason says, "Woman, don't worry about this. We're going to get married. I'll fix it." Okay? God is well capable if you only let him. It pays dividends to talk to God. Turn to Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. Now this is what Jesus said. He has all power in heaven and earth. He knows everything. And by the way, when Jason does get married and Joshua gets married, on their behalf, I invite everybody to the wedding. In Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In Luke 11, as we try to finish this up here, this is a wonderful scripture, and it is true. That's Luke chapter 11, verse number 9. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives, to he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened." Keep on asking every day, "Lord, I'm a needy person. Do I drive down this street? Do I go to this place? Do I go to this store? What do you want me to do today?" He will guide you. It is absolutely fantastic. I want to shoot this in very quickly. Let me take you back to about 1985. 1985, we didn't have a church building. Have you looking for something? And one morning after I've been praying, it was in my home, I heard the Holy Spirit speaking inside of me. Now, I cannot tell you how I hear it. It's like a thought. And he simply said, "I'm going to give you a building. Drive down to Auburn Boulevard," and he gave a cross street. "And there, I will show you." I didn't tell my wife. I jumped in the car, drove down to Auburn Boulevard, drove down. As I come sliding around, there was a big banner on a commercial building for lease and a phone number. And the Holy Spirit said, "Call." Those were the days with no cell phones. Because you can't imagine that. So I wrote the number down, drove home, and I called the number. And the guy said, "Yes, we have a place there. You like a church there?" "Yes, I'll meet you right there." So I drove right back. Here came the real estate agent. And as he drove up, he showed this to me. And I said, "Well, this looks pretty nice." And then he said this, "I will talk to the owner." I did not know that the owner was one of the wealthiest contractors in Sacramento area. Multi-million. I didn't know that. So the guy said, "I want you to go over to the Natomas area. We got another building there, and the owner will meet you." We met over there, looked at it, and the owner said, this contractor said, "No, I have the right place for you." He said, "Let's drive over there." He took us over an Auburn Boulevard up in Citrus Heights. And there was a strip mall, part of it had never been built out, sitting in the corner, beautiful place. And I walked in, and I said, "This is a place." Matter of fact, I made a mistake. He simply said, "You know, if you find something, then call me." I thought, you know, well, this guy's not going to be a flake. So my wife went to another place. This guy sent her up to Auburn Boulevard, and we looked at that. So I called a contractor up and said, "Hey, we found a place." He said, "I'll be in half an hour." He drove up. He went in through the place, looked it over like this. And then he came out. He said, okay, John. He said, this is it. Get the ball rolling. I pay for this thing. I will build this church for you. I said, wow. Never happened before. And that is how our first church at Ottenburg was built. Guidance. A thought in the morning. Drive down to that street. I will show you later. The sign. The praises. And that builder that God laid upon his heart. Whatever it takes, give me the bill. I will pay it. Give me the bill. I will pay it. You ever had it happen to you? Happened to me once. Now, Matthew 7:24. I want to encourage you today to really believe that God's going to guide you. In Matthew 7:24, we read this. Therefore, whosoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these things of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Now, every day you can build a house. Every day you're building a house. You can build it on a foundation, Jesus Christ. You build it on sand. If you ask for guidance on everything, you will be building on a foundation, a rock, and you will have success. You will have joy and peace. Final scripture here is in, not the final, but in Proverbs 11:14. That's Proverbs 11:14. This is what I learned too. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. When you have to make a big decision, not only pray about it, talk to your wife. If you're not married, talk to someone that you trust that is in the Word of God. And simply ask him, will you pray about this? Is this feasible? Do you think this is right? Get some advice. It is helpful from time to time. And then my final scripture in John 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. If you pick it up in verse number 4. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. How do you abide in him? By talking to him. Ask him for advice. Ask him for counsel. Ask him, should I do this, Lord, or should I not do this? And the more you get tuned in by the Holy Spirit, it will become natural for you. Just about everything, it becomes natural. Just to pray, thank you, Jesus. Is this good? Is this bad? What do I do here? How do I go? It will be natural. You'll be talking to Jesus and the Holy Ghost all the time. If you don't, you're missing all the blessings of God. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the guidance you've given me in my life over the years. Dear God, I shudder what I think I would be if I would have made the wrong decisions. Some of the major things, Lord. And I pray today, Father God, that people would get excited. That they would have confidence in you, Lord. That since you know the future, you can give us such marvelous guidance that we will be in your perfect will. That's what we want to be, Lord. In your perfect will. So, Father God, speak to your people here today and minister to them in Jesus' name. Now, if you're watching and you say this, I say this every Sunday, you're not saved, you're not born again, you don't know what I'm talking about, but you feel that you want to be saved, you want to know God. Here's how you do it. It's very simple. God, just tell him this, I'm a sinner. I made a mess of my life. I'm lost. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. God, forgive me right now. Jesus, I take as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. And he will. Then write us and call us. Let us know your decision. If you're backslidden, would you ask God to forgive you today? And he will forgive you. Then write us and call us and we'll help you. In Jesus' name. Remember, God loves you. He wants to touch you. The altars have opened. Elders and deacons are here. You come. If you want to be anointed with oil and prayed for and sang, I want to be prayed for. I want to be prayed for more anointing, for guidance. You come. If you're sick, whatever it is, the altars are open. You come in Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking his commandments. That's why he said we've all sinned and fallen short of his standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the fourth part in the series, "Without Me, You Can Do Nothing," and was entitled, "Divine Guidance from Jesus." God has a spiritual GPS system, and unlike the ones today, it is not limited to only travel information, but covers every area of life. This system is called the Holy Spirit, and He is not limited to a denomination, but is available to every believer in Christ. This means you can turn to God and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what you should do in every situation you face on this earth. Since the Holy Spirit knows the future, He will guide you in the correct path and assure that you are victorious in whatever you do. He will not reveal what your future will be, but He will help you to make decisions in such a way that you will always have a positive outcome in whatever you do. Think about that. You have an omnipotent God guiding you through life. Making a decision without Jesus is gambling, since you don't know what the outcome is going to be. So, are you abiding in Christ? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1349. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.